But before we get in right to it, I want to first say thank you all you guys watching on Facebook Live. Thank you guys so much for watching. Please share this broadcast. If you hear anything that resonates with you, please feel free to comment, talk it through, share it, get it out to your friends. But for those who are watching on YouTube, we greatly appreciate you guys' support. Thank you guys for watching. In the description box below, there are some links to better engage with Unplugged. You can go ahead and give. You can also subscribe. You can also share this broadcast. Also, go ahead and join our learning community if you haven't already, where the bulk of my lecture or talks will be at lifework.courses. Also, if you're listening to this on SoundCloud, Apple Music, on Google Play, thank you guys for listening. Feel free to download. If you haven't, if you would prefer to have this message in downloadable form, go ahead and get on SoundCloud, Google Play, and Apple or iTunes or the podcast portion. Get the link, download, so you'll be able to save your data plan. But let's get right into our talk today. Before I get into it, let's go ahead and pray. Father God, we thank you so much for who you are. We greatly appreciate your love and your support and your care. Father God, your truth has a trail. No matter what we go through in life, we can find that you are true, that your word is true, that everything that has spoken within those pages that you've written to us through imperfect people, but a perfect message. Father God, there is a trail to better understand why we believe. God, we honor the fact that you would not give us a faith that don't have facts, a faith that is not subjected to fairy tale, but Father God, but truth. And I pray, Father God, as I speak about truth, that we better understand not the global truth of who you are, but the specific truth that you have for our daily lives. For your word says the truth that will set us free. With that being said, God, we thank you. We honor you. We praise you. And I pray that you'll speak through me, because God, if you're not in this room, I'm wasting these great people time. So Father God, speak through me today with words that will edify and encourage and rebuke and correct, but also give joy. In Jesus' name we do pray, amen. Can I get three people, because I have five scriptures today that I'm kind of going to take some time to break down. But can I give three people that could tell me what are three obvious absolute truths? What are three obvious absolute truths? Obvious. Plain sight. Yes. Okay. Yeah, just basic truth. Obvious, yeah. He despises evil. Can I get someone else? Another absolute, obvious truth. Let's think. What's something that you know for a fact in your day-to-day life, in your spiritual life, that you can say, man, that's absolutely true? The sky is blue. We got the sky is blue. We got God hates evil. Can I get one more person? An absolute truth, an obvious truth. Yes. There's a creator. There are certain aspects of life that gives us absolute truth. A lot of people live life looking at truth as something that's relative. A truth that says, well, it's true for me, even though it may not be true for you, but I deem this as true. God created us in such a way, he created his creation with such detail that if a person genuinely wants to know who this God is, genuinely wants to know that the sky is blue, genuinely wants to know that God hates evil, if they're willing to search the details of creation to find truth, you can find truth. The thing is, through our sin nature, we have been brainwashed into believing that there is no God, or if there is a God, we have the wrong perspective of who he is. God endeavors for us to know the truth, because he says in his word that the truth will set you free. Now, a lot of people outside the Christian faith will say, well, don't use the Bible to prove truth as far as who this God is. But there is so many evidences outside of God's word that prove that his word is true. His word is a historical document, far, far beyond the weight that the Islamic faith believe. There's a lot of different historical, even historical writers who even said that the Bible, they may not have believed that Jesus was God, but they did say that Yeshua did live. There is a lot of evidences outside of the Bible that proves that the Bible is true. Why would God give his creation something, or why would God give his creation or leave out of creation a document that would prove why we exist? That's why I love knowing God intellectually. A lot of people have an emotional connection with God, but do not have enough root spiritually or intellectually to better articulate, let alone understand for themselves why they believe what they believe. It's so sad a lot of people step out into this world so full of chaos and so full of darts and so full of people who always got something to say, or even full of imposters, To the point that when you step out in this world not knowing what you believe, it can shake in your faith. The devil could care less about what you believe. He cares about the faith that you have in what you believe. Faith, he says, without is impossible to please him. Let's get right into it. I didn't mean to even go this far. Let's go to the problem. Many people are unwilling to search or to submit to the truth. Many people, the problem in our world today is that many people are unwilling to search or to submit to the truth. Due to the hardness of their hearts, they want to ignore the truth to establish their own truths. Many people are unwilling to search and to submit to the truth. Due to the hardness of their hearts, they want to ignore the truth to establish their own truths. Truth is not relative. There is a such thing as absolute truth. You guys got all that? Many people are unwilling to search and to submit. It takes a certain level of humility to say, you know what, I'm wrong. To even be open or aware enough to realize that I am incapable of living the life that I know I should live. Imagine how frustrated you are that if you open your iPhone box and you open your iPhone 7 for the first time, you pull back the wrapper, you put the charger in, and the moment that it said that it was new, starts working, stops working, or is not working to its full capability, you will begin to say that something is wrong with this product. If we have the ability to look at products, even though it's been presented new, and to look at it and be upset if it's not working at its full capability, then why don't we look at ourselves and say, you know what, I should be working better than this. I should be living better than this. Then there is something obviously wrong with me. Why am I not even close to walking in the love that I should? Why am I not content in God? Why am I so prone to do what's wrong? We were created as probably the best technology ever. No technology made by man can even compare to the technology of who we are. They're still trying to make cameras the same capability of our own eyes. They're trying to match what God originally did. And you can almost feel that if a person can look at modern day technology and say that there must be something wrong with this, if it's advertising to be new, then we should be able to say, you know what is really wrong with me? Is there something wrong with what's been downloaded? Because each and every one of us came into this world as a defect, a refurbished, a product that's not working in its full capability. And we gotta ask ourselves, am I willing to search the truth? What is it? What is truth? Are we willing to say, God, what is really, genuinely wrong with me? The moment that you speak from humility, asking God, saying, God, you know what? I'm not working the way I should. Then at that moment, you will be able to submit to the truth. But the reason why many people are unwilling to submit to God's truth, let alone search for it, because nobody really wants to be or wants anyone God over them. Deep down inside, we want to be our own gods. We don't want to follow nobody's rules. The cause of this problem is due to people either being easily persuaded by deception or easily offended by the truth. The cause of this problem is due to people either being easily persuaded by deception or easily offended by the truth. The enemy of deception is discernment. And you can't have discernment without the presence of and the engagement with the Holy Ghost. The cause of this problem is due to people either being easily deceived by deception or easily offended by the truth. The enemy of deception is discernment. And you cannot have or can't have discernment without the presence of and the engagement with the Holy Spirit of God. The cause of this problem is that so many people are either easily persuaded by deception or in their hearts completely offended by the truth. Are you a person that easily drifts? A person without foundation, a person without an anchor? What is true when it comes to relationships? What is true when it comes to marriage? What is truth when it comes to that? What is truth when it comes to just being an individual? What is truth? The reason why many of us do not walk in the way that we need is because we're so easily persuaded. When you know that you know that you know that you know, nobody can move you. But how can you know that you know that you know if you don't know the one that desires to be known? When you know God without a shadow of a doubt, when he has revealed himself in such a special way, when you know for a fact that he's real and you found out historically that the word of God is proven to be true in a world full of untruth, then you can be able to stand in any climate, being able to say, I know in whom I believe and I know in what I believe. But if you don't have that conviction, if you don't have that confidence, then you're going to be easily deceived by what's coming up ahead. Right now, there is so much division in our country, so much division in our world, that we are being set up for something so grotesque. No, that's not your word. Grotesque. To the point that the Bible says that there will be a great falling away. Great falling away. Why will there be a great falling away? From people who had emotional connections. A great falling away of people who know how to worship, who know how to shout, who know how to raise hands, who know how to do church. Why would there be a great falling away? It's because the bulk of the people have a connection or an experience, but do not have roots in the truth. The Bible says, they that endure to the end shall be saved. Not the one that can endure church services, but the one who can endure to the end. Not one who can endure good times with God, but when bad times, God, they have no root. He's talking about people who will say, I know in what I believe and who I believe, to the point that it is so valuable to me that you can take my life if you need to. Listen, do you know him to such a degree that you're even willing to lay your life down for him? That's a question. Or you have so many people that's just completely offended. What do you mean I gotta live this way? What do you mean I'm not perfect? What do you mean I can't do what I wanna do? What do you mean that I have to submit myself to this God? Why? Truth is truth. And if it's true, then I know that if he created me with love, with intent, then his truth is not designed to hinder me, but to help me. Next point, atheists, followers of other religions, and some believers are afraid of and or angry with the idea of absolute truth due to absolute truth's requirement of absolute submission. People want to ignore the truth about our condition, the Christ, the cost, the commission, and the conclusion due to his demand on us to change. I'll repeat that. Atheists, followers of other religions, and some believers are afraid of and or angry with the idea of absolute truth due to absolute truth requirements of absolute submission. People want to ignore the truth about our condition, about the Christ, about the cost, the commission, and the conclusion due to its demand on us to change. People rather die in pride rather than live in death. Meaning, the number one thing that will keep you and ensure that you are eternally separated from God is pride. I rather live in the death of the old me than to miss out on living in the old me. Absolute truth requires absolute submission, humility. That's saying, God, if you see and say that it's truth, I will submit my life to that cause. I wonder why people will engage with things, not endeavoring to search the truth about it. Get into marriages but won't find out what's the truth about it in God's eyes. Get into business and won't find out the truth that God has about money and stewardship and generosity. People will engage with things without willing to find the truth of it. And when most people engage with things not knowing the truth of it, they will suffer the consequence of their ignorance. Y'all learning something? The atheist part again. Atheist followers of other religions and some believers are afraid of and or angry with the idea of absolute truth due to absolute truth requirement or requirements of absolute submission. People want to ignore the truth about our condition, meaning our sin nature, the Christ, the Savior of this world. The cost is death, burial, and resurrection. The commission of us being proactive in advancing God's kingdom and impacting other souls, and the conclusion, meaning his second coming and the final judgment of all man due to its demand on us to change. Meaning that so many people have gotten so comfortable in their condition that they don't even want to endeavor to change. We cannot change on our own. That's why we need to be aware of our condition. We have to be aware of who Jesus is. We have to be aware of the cost that it costs him for us to be redeemed. And we have to understand that it's not our responsibility, it's not our audacity for us to pursue our own mission and agenda. But now we got to say, God, what have you called for me to do in this new life so that I can be able to reach others for your kingdom? Because I know that the conclusion is coming. I know that the Bible says appointed for every man to die and after the judgment. I know that to be true. And if that is true, I'm going to do what Jesus echoed in his life, that I have to make sure I be about my Father's business. Why not change? If the truth sets you free, why not change? If someone says, you know what, it is absolutely true that it's positively important for you to eat right, to live long, that truth, if you abide with it or to it, will ensure that you live longer. But a lot of us say, you know what, I'm just going to do me because of being comfortable. So many people are so comfortable in their sins, they don't want freedom. They don't want to find the truth. They don't want to be set free because they have been so kept and so well taken care of in this way of living. But why not walk in faith to find out what freedom gives? Let's keep going. The truth, let's get into some scripture. There's some parentheses outside of each scripture that lets you know to make sure that you go home and read the full context. So if I look at John 14:6, to make sure the scripture comes even more alive to you, make sure that you read verses 1 through 14. This type of practice ensures that you and I don't get easily persuaded by people who throw single verses at us. It is very important for you and I to make sure that we understand every scripture within its context. Because if you go into certain places, people have a way of twisting scriptures to match their agenda. So that's why you got to make sure that no matter if it's me or anyone, you hold me to the fire saying that, well, what about 5 verses up ahead? But in your studies, it gives you a better understanding to say, before I confess a scripture or before I even say a scripture, let me make sure I know its context. Let me know what the writer is trying to say. Let me know what the Spirit of God is trying to amplify for me. That's why I make sure I put those extra verses there. Let's talk about the truth. The truth and the way is Jesus. The truth and the way is Jesus. John 14:6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's a powerful statement. One of the most powerful statements in that word is that no one comes to the Father except through me. There's another verse that talks about no one comes to the Father unless they're drawn. Hold on, how the scripture goes? Well, we'll get to it later. Basically, what the scripture was saying was, God said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. The beautiful thing of being chosen knows for a fact that God has a plan. That's why I love for the fact that I know that if I find out that the word of God is true in its context to be true, then when Jesus says, I am the truth, I am the way, and I'm the life, it lets me know that I have to go through him in order to find truth. Not saying that you have to go to a person metaphorically, as far as literally, but what we're saying is, as far as Jesus, what he did for you, gave you the way, now giving you the life so that you can be able to know the truth, so you'll know for a fact that in this life I can walk confidently with God knowing that he is the truth. I tell people, how can we have a world with many gods? Have you shared something with someone before? shared a business, shared a relationship, shared an idea. That idea doesn't flow as well because you have so many people fighting for leadership position. There has to be one way. A lot of people keep saying, well, Josh, well, there can be many ways to God. I'm like, oh, really? Many people say there's many ways, but if we look at him as a person, look at you as a person. Is there many ways to you? Is there many ways to love you? Is there many ways into getting to know you? There's literally one way that you prefer to be known. Now, you don't want someone coming to you in multiple different ways, manipulating you and doing all these different things. You want to make sure, do you genuinely love me this way, the right way? And many people get so caught up on, well, I'll believe this and that, but nobody is willing to seek out the truth. That's why I tell people, don't come to Jesus unless you're willing to find the truth for yourselves. Let's keep going. The truth will set you free. John 8:32. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Let's keep writing these down. The truth is the foundation. Ephesians 6:14. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. Next, the truth guides. John 16:13. The Spirit of truth comes. He will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. The truth is heard. Psalms 145:18. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. Let's look at the second one. The truth will set you free. It's imperative for you and I to know the truth so that we can be set free in certain areas. What area in your life right now are you bound? In what area in your life are you still wrestling? Chances are you haven't found truth in that area. If you're still living sexually, if you're still doing things outside of God's order, if you're still doing things, even if you're ignoring it, you know for a fact that there's no truth in that area. Some of us really don't want to be set free because we know for a fact that we may believe that it's tough to walk this way. Listen, it is absolutely true that there is a way for you to live. And God said, I'm not asking to live it without me, but through me, you can live this way. Why do you think people are afraid to walk in truth? Let's talk for a minute. Why do you think people are afraid to walk in certain truths when it comes to purity, when it comes to walking with God sincerely? What are some things that keeps people from walking in that truth? So being comfortable. Somebody else. Control. Why that? She said, I didn't know you was gone. I got you. Self-explanatory. Control, being comfortable, yes.
I think people just think it's too hard.
Yeah.
It's hard because it's like they just can't process and see themselves that way. They just can't even see themselves that way.
Yeah. So we have being comfortable, we have control, and we have hardness. Being comfortable. Sin has a way of slowly putting us to sleep, slowly making us comfortable. Being comfortable leads to making excuses. That's all I've known. What do you mean I have to change? One thing I learned maybe 4 or 5 years ago was, if I don't change for the better, I will conform to the worse. That I have to make sure that I better myself. Change is beautiful. It's imperative. If I don't change on the inside, how can I change my outside? Imagine if you adapted to what truth brings. When you know that you are sinful and you know you have a condition and you know you have a heart problem, even if you knew you have a health problem, wouldn't you try to make a change? Then if you know you have a spiritual condition, then there should be something that leads you to say, you know what, I want to be better than this. Some of us, we got to change in our language. Some of us, we got to change in our promiscuity. Some of us, we got to, not promiscuity, but in our purity. Some of us got to really say, you know what, am I tired of living this way? Am I tired of wasting my life? Because if I know that the conclusion is coming and I know that death is imminent, why not change for the better? Instead of competing with someone else so that you could be set up in your own pride, why not compete with the old you to say, you know what, today I'm going to make sure that I'm better than the person I was yesterday. That today I'm going to make sure I continue to change. Because you do not grow in comfort zones, you grow in challenge zones. You only grow when you're challenged. That's why we get upset with God when he put us in stretching areas. Areas where he's going to stretch us, because he knows for a fact if I put you in comfortable places always, you will always find yourself being and remaining the same. But if I place myself in situations, in painful experiences, and place myself in these moments, I know that I will change for the better. That's why we fight God the most, because God rarely takes us to sweet pastures. He put us through wilderness. Before Jesus got to Galilee, there was the wilderness. We got to know the beauty of change. Are you still the same person that you was a year ago, 5 years ago? Where is that truth that you're saying, you know what, I don't want to know the truth in this area because I love sleeping around, I love lying, I love getting what I want out of this sin. Or do you really love God for who he is and say, you know what, I will sacrifice all of these temporal pleasures to find eternal joy. That I'd rather have nothing and have God and have everything and miss out on my opportunity to be able to walk with him every single day. Being comfortable will kill you. They say this is how you kill a frog. You don't throw a frog in a boiling pot of water. You slowly let it cook. You slowly put the heat up. And over time, that hot water, that warm water, will over time kill that frog. That's what we do when we sit in a pot of sin for too long. It feels comfortable. Good word. We adjust to it. We adapt to it. We put our arms up. The bubbles start going. We got a little bubble thing going on. We enjoying it. But not knowing that this thing is slowly killing us. Wherever there is the absence of truth, there's imminent decay. That's why I tell young men and young women, you got to get pornography and sleeping around out of your lifestyle, because that thing will destroy your marriage. You got to learn how to manage money. You got to learn, because if you don't, that destroys marriages. If you're endeavoring to go to the next level, you got to master things on this level. If you get comfortable in sin, sin's objective is to destroy. So if we don't know the truth about our condition and the truth of sin, these things will continue to kill our lives, and we're wondering why. Things happen to us mainly because we refuse to change. Number two was control. You know what I learned this last year? I know I'm going a little long. We're going to make some time for you. One thing that I learned was the peace that comes with trusting God. That sounds so spiritual and deep. But when you've been worrying for 2/3 of your life, when you've been stressed for the bulk of your life, and then God comes through, you know, you get tired of worrying, man. That's why I tell people, be a warrior, not a worrier. We got to be able to say, you know, I'm going to fight this thing. I'm going to get out of this thing. I'm not going to allow worry to mess me up. But listen, I tell you right now, let go of your life, man. Don't worry about who you're going to marry. Don't worry about what city you're supposed to be in. Let God do what he, it's sad. We mishandle our life when we try to handle the parts of our life that only God can handle. We try to be like, God, I got it. God's like, bruh, you're not even strong enough to even handle this. You don't even have in the capability to be able, you're not even subjective enough to my truth to be able to walk in it. Why are you asking for this and you know you can't handle it? That's why I say, man, let God do it. All God wants you to worry about is working out your own salvation. He cares about you being disciplined. He cares about you walking in love. He cares about you doing what's in your control. You can't go out there and try to find, you can't do it. We can't do it. So we got to let it go. The longer you hold on to it, the longer you would be destroyed by what you're trying to grasp a hold of. A lot of good things become bad things when we idolize them. There's nothing wrong with being married. There's nothing wrong with a husband. Nothing wrong with a wife. They become tainted when we idolize them. We have to come to a place in the heart where we say, you know what? Truth, please set me free. I don't want control of my life anymore because I can't control it. Number three was what? oh man, God never said this thing was gonna be easy, y'all. Walking in truth when it comes to purity is not easy. Walking in truth when it comes to my language is not easy. Walking in truth when it comes to any other area in our lives is not easy. Go to the gym and find out how hard it is to get in shape. It's easy to get big, but it's hard to get slim. Anything that requires discipline is not easy. Why do you think that? I was talking to some kids today. They were just being ruthless to a substitute. And I'm like, man, y'all don't want it, do you? Y'all don't want it. Y'all think this life is easy, don't you? Yeah, it's easy. Yeah, because all you got is juicy fruits and cookies and stuff and honey grams I'll be taking from y'all lunch. I know y'all got that. But there's going to come a point in your life when you realize this thing is not easy. But when you work for it, when you work for that dollar becomes more valuable to you. If you steal a dollar, the dollar depreciates in value to you. We have to be so in love with the process of learning truth, the process of understanding God. Because if I walk into this, I know for a fact I will better appreciate my wife. I will better appreciate money. I will better appreciate those things that I work hard for. I'll appreciate that sexual moment in marriage because I knew I waited for it. I know that no matter if you messed up, but that 2 years you waited, you'll be like, man, it is rewarding knowing that I waited, even if it was 2 months, 3 months, 5 months. I'm not saying judge nobody. I'm saying you just got to wait. That moment would be so precious because you knew those nights when you were tempted. You canceled your subscription to Netflix because you didn't want no temptation to chill. You was like, I'm just going to cancel it. I'm not going to let nobody over. It is not easy, but it's always worth it. Let's keep going.
Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead. Accountability. We don't want accountability. But accountability is essential for development. We don't want nobody auditing our lives. Just checking on you. How you doing? We don't want nobody having our search engines. We don't want nobody knowing what we're looking at. Because that means clearance of sin. If I don't have no accountability, I can do whatever I want. If you want it bad enough, you will establish all the systems you need to succeed. The truth is the foundation. I'll stop there. We'll get into some more of this next time, next in March. Ephesians 6:14 says, stand therefore having fastened on the belt of truth. In Ephesians 6 through 10 through 20 is talking about how to war in spiritual warfare. I said the truth is the foundation because everyone knows that when you put on a belt, it is the foundation of the outfit. It keeps everything together. If you don't have on no belt, things will begin to sag. Wherever there is no truth, there is looseness, meaning that you will be easily prone to trip in this life. That's why God said, make sure you fasten on the belt of truth, because the enemy, his main objective is deception. When you know what deception is, you know for a fact that, man, that's his ultimate weapon. He does not make you do anything. He uses words to get the results that he wants. But when you know for a fact that you can counter the deception with discernment, you will make sure that you always have truth fastened. What is truth when it comes to the areas where you're loose? If you try to go into war with no belt, then you'll trip up on your pants. You ever play basketball for the fellas? You play basketball and you don't have no jockstring, no drawstring? That's the worst. You can't focus on your game because you're moving and your pants are falling. That's how it is in life without truth. You're trying to walk in love, but this area is not fastened, so you keep tripping. You try to walk in purity, but since this area is not fastened with accountability, you keep slipping. It's imperative that we are fastened in truth. God, what is the truth in this area? Fasten it. God, please help me to fasten this area. And it's not easy, man. You got to go to great extremes to not fall. You gotta go to the point where you got so much blocks on your computer, even if you type in P-O-R-N, that thing won't even come up. The only thing you get is how to overcome porn on YouTube. I have to go through great lengths. You got to go through great lengths. There's nothing in arm's reach anymore because you want it that bad. That is so fastened that there's nothing within that when you're tempted the most. That's why I tell people, you got to prepare as if you're tempted always. You got to be in war mentality. The Bible says no soldier entangles himself with civilian affairs because his or her objective is to please the one who enlisted them. Meaning, people are in civilian pursuits right now. Houses, cars, being married. They're not living like soldiers. When a soldier's in another country, they're living like a soldier. Because they know for a fact that any given moment, if they get distracted in civilian pursuits, they will miss out on their assignments. That's why you got to go through great lengths. You got to say, you know what? When a man comes to talk to you, I'm not ready to be pursued. Most times the reason why people can't hold anybody else to anything honest, because they're not first to hold themselves honest. You got to say, you know what? I'm going to be honest with me and say, you know what? My life is not fastened enough to be in a relationship. My life is not fastened enough to do this until I find truth, the absolute truth, the obvious truth. I won't be able to walk in this way. Being a Christian is not easy because he says, if you endeavor to follow me, you have to deny yourself. Take up your cross, then follow me. Why do you think many of them started fleeing? He was popping when he was turning water to wine. He was the man out here, man, when he was raising the dead. But when he was telling the truth about himself, they said it was hard sayings. The same people he fed Bojangles boxes with the $5 discounts, it was free, it was sponsored. He gave it to him for free. Those same people walked away. How many of us, because of not being anchored in truth, when the okie doke happens, and so many, that's why I get so upset with people arguing about political things as if Jesus is not king. Emotionally attached to deceptions. Arguing back and forth as if the stage is not being set for you and I to be so consumed that when it happens, because it will happen, because the Bible said a great falling away will happen, don't act like you may not be in that number. That's why I got to make sure today I know in whom I believe. That when deception, the devil knows how to make something look so true. Trust God's word for you. I challenge you this week to say, God, I'm going to seek the truth in the areas where there may be lies. God, I'm going to turn my social media off. I'm going to remove anything and everything to make sure that I am in tune to your voice. Because there is coming a day where your truth will be challenged. The Bible even said they'll be killing you thinking he's doing me service. You got to know in whom you believe. Because I want to be that guy that says, you know what, Josh, is there anything in me that will keep me from standing firm? Do not allow life to get you so intoxicated of it that when life starts asking you bold questions, you see what they're doing with Muslims now. You seeing what's coming around the horizon. The conflict between beliefs and faiths. Civil unrest is coming. And you got to make sure you say, for him I live and for him I die. Not because it was something cute that I do in church, but because I studied to show myself approved. Truth is not relative. Truth is absolute. Go to my final words, and I'll do my final words next time. Well, I'll do both of them. Many people come to truth through emotional experiences, but only few endure. For us to endure, we must connect to God intellectually. But we can't connect to God accurately intellectually without supernatural intellectual renewal. The Word of God is our tangible anchor, our living love letter, designed to tell us about our condition, the Christ, the cause, the commission, and the conclusion. Knowing that the Word of God is infallible or without error gives credit to its contents. Whatever is true has a trail of proof to prove it's true. God has a trail of evidence, even outside of the Bible, to prove His Word is true. I dare people who's watching me online, listening to me on any downloadable place, to go and ask God to reveal Himself to be true. But that truth demands change. When God brings the truth to you, He's not saying, oh, I just wanted to tell you. No, He says, I want to make sure you utilize His truth to change you. Let's pray. We're going to talk about some key things to better understand our faith, and then we'll do a quick 30-minute Q&A, and I'll get out your way. Father God, we thank You so much for this time. I pray this word, even though it may have been out all over the place, I truly believe that You spoke through me. I pray, Father God, as we continue on in this journey of apologetics, and even getting our questions answered, God, that we better understand our need to know You. As we get into more questions, into more situations about the Word of God, let it edify and encourage these great men and women to know that the book they have is true. And we thank You for this time, God. You know what we pray. Amen. So Israel's going to come up here.